Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of AV Insider. I think we're about 92 episodes deep now, not quite at 100, but we're getting there. Small little project I started on a couple years back. We're growing, we're building steam. We've covered so many wonderful people and companies and technology from A to V to lighting and automation. Today, as always, I have a special guest, but not any more or less special than anyone else, but definitely special nonetheless. Before I have them on, I definitely want to thank the sponsors as they keep this little Northern California cloud moving along. Ingram Micro, they are the world's largest technology distributor delivering flexible multi-channel supply chain solutions and more. If you head over to ingrammicro.com, you can find out some of my previous guests that I've had on this show, special also. I could tell you who they are, or you could just head right over to ingrammicro.com and find out for yourself, and maybe mention my name. And by doing so, that could either be good or bad. I guess it kind of just depends. There's one way to find out. Head over to ingrammicro.com. And as I mentioned, today I have a special guest by the name of Sal Carraba. Hopefully I didn't say that name incorrectly, but he is the president and founder of Salamander Designs. Sal, thank you for taking the time.
Great to be here.
Yeah, man. Hey, let's talk a little bit and a lot of bit about Salamander Designs, which I'm very well familiar with in this roughly 8-ish plus years in the CE space that I've been in on the technology side of things. But I know you guys do. I've seen you in commercial spaces. I've seen you in residential spaces. But before we really dive into the company, what I love asking my guests so much about is kind of maybe what their background is. So specifically, what is your background prior to Salamander Designs in the custom install, AV space, technology space? Maybe this is your first job ever, whether that's in technology or not. I kind of like to learn about where the brand comes from. Can you tell me a little bit about your past experience?
Sure, absolutely. So been doing Salamander for going on 25 years now. This actually has been my first and only real job since college.
Sweet.
I actually started this little thing as an independent study in my senior year of college. I was studying business and sculpture at Skidmore College in upstate New York, and I was an audiophile and needed something to put my equipment on. At that point, it was a pretty tall stack of gear, and developed my own AV rack. And so this is really the beginnings of it. When I graduated, I very slowly started this thing, and it has grown organically over 25 years into where we are today. So it's been an interesting journey, but a lot of fun along the way.
Okay, so you're a young man in college, very into audio, right? You have a good-sized stack of equipment, which, as I'm sure most of my listeners who are into audio can relate to.
Yeah.
It's easy to accumulate that product, and your need and want for the shelving and the rack space for it either wasn't suitable for what was out there, or you're like, you know what, I could build that.
It was a little bit of all of that, you know. A college student, didn't have a lot of money, but I had access to the art studio where I was studying sculpture.
Okay.
So I had equipment, and I had some material that I could access. You know, being a sculpture student, I pride myself in constructing and building things. I tend to be a pretty tactile type of a person, so I like to touch and feel and build things in a three-dimensional sort of way, very hands-on. And, you know, small budget, so, you know, had to do it myself. But I also didn't really like what was in the market, what was available. It was typically not really great quality. It was typically a particle board shelf with, at the time, you know, there were, you know, 4 and 5 shelf audio stands that maybe was a black vinyl wrapped particle board shelf. Maybe it had a cold steel, painted steel frame to it. That was pretty much the best thing you could find in the marketplace if you were looking for an audio rack. You know, this is like in the early 90s, you know, mid 90s. So I thought we could do something better. I got into the studio and built something. And that's really where it started. You know, people were looking at it. It was kind of an innovative kind of a design, but different. And it had the kind of functional features that I wanted in my gear. So I was looking for something that was going to be anti-resonant, something that was adjustable, because, you know, I was constantly buying different pieces of equipment. You know, like so many audiophiles, you're constantly trying that perfect combination of equipment to get the sonic qualities you're looking for. And so I needed something that was flexible. I wanted something with superior materials because my background in sculpture really, that was important to me. So, necessity is the mother of invention, right? And so
Yeah.
this is really how it started.
Okay, so it very much started from a need in the industry, and coming from an audio enthusiast, I see how that works. And then, like, that same stack of gear sits off to the side behind me and in multiple rooms of my house, and it continually just grows and grows. I need the flexibility in a rack to adjust things because it'll constantly change the space. And then, obviously, like I said, you want something anti-resonant for the type of audio equipment that sits there. Now, you being a sculptor at the time, I'm envisioning, and you can share as much or as little as you'd like, trial and error, right? Different materials, different processes. How much time until, because you built, I'm assuming, okay, you had access to the art studio and you built your first, I'm assuming, rack, correct?
That's right, yeah.
Was there a lot of trial and error in materials until the first one that you brought home with you was the one, right? Like, this is the one that made it home.
So, there was some trial and error for sure. Certain components necessitated a little bit more experimentation. I had essentially what I designed at that point is a product that's still alive today. We sell today something called the Archetype System, and this is the foundation of really of the Archetype System. This is what I built. It's a shelving system that uses wooden shelves that are supported by a threaded member. So it's essentially like a long threaded rod that allowed these shelves to travel along this threaded rod vertically, and so it makes it fully adjustable. But I wanted to add an element that would help to isolate the components from one another, and maybe it's the vibration caused by, at the time, maybe it was a CD player or a turntable, trying to isolate those components from one another, but also from maybe footsteps or the bass in the room. So I wanted to incorporate a bushing that would isolate the steel components, the structure, from the shelves themselves. So I had incorporated essentially like a washer or a bushing, but made of a material called neoprene, which is a man-made rubber. And what's cool about neoprene, it comes in several different hardnesses. The measure is called the durometer. So a low durometer is a very gummy, soft material, and a harder material is a higher durometer. So, it was some experimentation there to get just the perfect combination, so it wasn't too soft and gummy where the rack wasn't stable when you clamped the shelf to the unit. So there was some experimentation in that way, but that was kind of fun, as you get into this.
Yeah, so my first experience, I think, before I came across your rack units and cabinetry was the furniture, right? The first thing I had ever experienced was, I don't remember the model. It was at a show, like a local show, and I sat and I'm like, this is really comfortable. I'm digging this. And it's really handcrafted well, and the stitching was beautiful, and it just, I'm like, I could hang out in one of these in my theater, and this is
I
cool.
see.
Yeah.
What you're referring to, I guess, is our soft goods. So Salamander, as a manufacturer, we make what we call, in the broad sense, it's all furniture. We have case goods and racks, and so this is our racks and stands and cabinets. But we also do soft goods, and so that's recliners and seating for home theaters as well. So those are the two main categories that we manufacture. We also sell some mounts, wall mounts and things like this, freestanding mounts and wall mounts of different varieties. So three main categories for Salamander. Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I see that. All furniture, I kind of misspoke. It was, yeah, the soft seating for what I would say it's probably going to see in a could be a living room, could be a theater, but they were showing it. This is a theater seating, but I'm obviously you can. They could be the living room. It could be anywhere. They were comfortable, and
Absolutely.
they weren't unattractive to where you couldn't just put them in any old room, right? They weren't designed specifically for theater. It's furniture. It could be in
Absolutely.
any room depending on the decor.
It's entertainment furniture, and more, they're not dedicated spaces. These are great rooms, and everybody's gathering in these large spaces. So we try to design things so that they'll fit in what we call different applications, but also in different decors. So.
So, Salamander, the company Salamander Designs, is this something that's it's all on the East Coast? Are there different warehouses, manufacturing plants? How does that work?
So there is one facility in Hartford, Connecticut. This is
Okay.
where we are based. Everything is manufactured in Hartford. We are a
Wow.
domestic manufacturer.
Imagine that.
Yeah, go figure. It's not easy to do, but it does have some advantages, and there are some things that being a domestic manufacturer allows that foreign competitors can't do. And we'd really try to focus on those things. And so that is the ability to allow a high degree of customization in our products.
I love hearing manufacturers say that they're here in the United States. I always, you know, people always say, you know, oh, you know, bring jobs back to America and manufacturing's gone and left. And yeah, for the most part, a lot of things are still outsourced. One, because it's cheaper to make elsewhere, right? But by doing that, it's unless you have a QA team, a quality assurance team, over in China or wherever outside of the States, which most people don't, it's really tough to know that your standards as a company are being met until it gets back here. And is it really, was there any corners cut? You don't know. You don't have your team there. So,
yeah, that's true.
And then manufacturing here in the States is cheaper. I'm sorry, not cheaper. It's quite the opposite. It's not cheaper. It's more, it costs more. One, maybe because of materials. The materials generally aren't cheaper depending on where you buy them from. I myself came from manufacturing in a machine shop for the first time around was 7 years. So we did a lot of stuff here where I'm from, and it was interesting to see the way things are built, manufactured, put together, assembled from a raw solid piece of material or plastic or however, and
yep.
then the end result. There was a really a good sense of accomplishment. So I kind of had this feeling, okay, you know, I'm making things here in America and that's great. And and then people say, you know, there aren't any companies left. I'm like, well, there are. So Salamander is a good case in point. You guys are in Connecticut. Is that what we said?
Yeah. So everything is done here. And so there are some real advantages to being a domestic manufacturer. And this is so we've got to play to those strengths. So one of the things that we do is we allow mass customization of our products. And if we pull back a little bit to explain more about what is at the core of Salamander, it's the ability, what we call, to design your own. We say our furniture is furniture shaped by your needs. And so the furniture can be as unique as you are. So when we talk about customization, it's about not just the configuration. And so when I say configuration, that is the size and the shape of this thing, whether it's long and low or tall and skinny, a tower, and all of this. But it's the kind of accessories that you may add depending on what the application is. Are you storing inside of this cabinet, for example, media storage? Do you want a charging tray for your personal laptop or personal devices? Do you have a turntable that you want to store in there that you want to pull in and out of this? We have refrigerators that you can put inside of a cabinet if you want. So a huge level of customization. And we're doing that and building our cabinets with a 3 to 5 day lead time.
Wow.
I mean, that's where the advantage of being domestic really shines. So customization, quick ship delivery. And, you know, as a side note, you know, we're in an 85,000 square foot facility here in Hartford, and it's 100% solar powered, and we've got, you know, 420 panels on the roof of the building that powers this place. So you know, some people care about that. We certainly do, and we're proud of it.
The way I see Salamander is a custom company made here in the States, right? So while you might be able to go to salamanderdesigns.com currently and see the product offerings that you have, for the most part, it seems like, okay, I'm getting into whether it's a racks and stands, an AV cabinet, a theater seating, and some mounts. Maybe the mounts are slightly different than what I'm going to say, is that for what you just said, right, your cabinets are made in 3 to 5 days, correct?
That's right.
I would go to the website and say, okay, this is the style that I want. This is the material that I want. This is the configuration. I'm building a modular setup or a customized cabinetry based on my needs, right? So it's not something that's just in a box ready to go. It takes time to build it, and a 3 to 5 turnaround day time is really good for anything custom. That's good.
Yeah. So we actually don't carry finished goods inventory for most of what we sell unless the volume is really there.
Mm-hmm.
And we build our furniture on a systems approach. So we really build our furniture differently than most manufacturers. At the core of our furniture is most typically an aluminum chassis. So this is a systems program. So the cabinets come in multiple widths, singles, twins, triples, and quads. They come in multiple heights, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60. And so it's a matter of the frame components are modular to us, so we can take those components off the shelf and assemble them in different ways based
Sure.
on what your particular needs are, and then apply finishes based on specifically what you want to match for your decor. So it's us assembling all of those components in a matter of 3 days. So that's our competitive advantage. Yeah.
Now, let's that seems a lot like on the cabinetry side, right? Like you have okay, there's the width framing, right? Okay, I can put this together, but then it's the assemble of like whatever finish of the materials is, and then building the cabinetry. On the theater or the soft side of things, what's the and I don't think that there would be a standard lead time, but I mean for to build any given configuration, whether it's a one, a two, or three seating seat. I guess, and then I'm sure there's tons of options as well. Is there like an X turnaround time? It's going to take so many days to build whatever this is.
So it's 15 business days is our standard lead time, and we
Okay.
can usually knock out, I don't know, whether it's a 12 row arrangement of chairs at that point. Maybe if somebody orders, 24 rows in a larger personal theater, that might extend it by a couple of days, but we generally have the capacity to do that. And that's really our strength, is this quick lead time.
See, I work a lot with lighting and things like that on in large commercial spaces or residential spaces. It just kind of depends on the project, and this is just coming from the lighting side, right? When I work with custom lighting manufacturers, their lead times are crazy, and it's for something way more simple than what you're doing in a faster turnaround time. I see 2 to 3 weeks, 4 to 6 weeks, and there's not really a whole lot more, going on into these fixtures. It's crazy. It for something like that, and to hear for what you're putting out in like sometimes half the time, it's just crazy. And it's all made here, so it's just crazy.
And so, a lot of times, in fact, the transportation time takes longer than the manufacturing time.
Yeah.
When we're, it takes us just 2 or 3 days to build a cabinet, but then it takes us, 4 or 5 days to get it to California. So, it's ironic, but we're students of what is called lean manufacturing. So, to us, it means that, also known as pull manufacturing, that means when the customer pulls it, they ask for it. That's when we start building it. We pull it through our process and through our system when the customer actually says, yes, that's exactly what I want. So
Okay. And still, for the times that you're saying, I think is really good. And I something I can't stress enough to people listening, whether you're an integrator or a salesperson, a designer, the homeowner, whoever, a building owner, however, the planner, plan that custom things aren't like ready to go, like right off the shelf, that there is going to be some sort of lead time associated. And currently with Salamander, there it's quite less than what you would normally expect. Which is great. Manufacturing takes time, assembly takes time, the quality process to make sure that the product being shipped out is met to the standards of the company, that all takes time, right? There's a process from any given part, piece, product to build, assemble, and then kind of go over with a fine-tooth comb, make sure, okay, here's, Sal's stamp of approval, it meets our needs, ready to go, shipped out. And so in the times that you're providing, I think that's really good. I mean,
thank you.
again, a lot of that helps is because you're making that here, and that's I think another great reason to manufacture here. You can have your team here to meet those needs. Okay, this is the quality that we're looking for. Yes, this is good. Let's move it.
It's hard to compete on price against, these foreign entities and Asian-made product and all of
Sure.
this. They make some good quality products. Quality is good. So, what's going to be our differentiating points? And so it's delivery, it's a higher level of quality, and it's the ability to customize it just the way you want it. I mean, that's really what we focus on. And as a brand too, one of the other pillars of Salamander, the second pillar, I'll say, besides design your own, that's really our first pillar. The second pillar is this notion of engineered to perform. And so it's building in a level of performance, sort of like what we talked about earlier, so that the gear performs at a better level than on a typical cabinet, that we're engineering a feature set that benefits the technology, whether it's active cooling or anti-resonant measures and things like this.
What I really like about your products is that they are furniture, right? It's not just, okay, a big ugly rack that lives in a mechanical room or something like that. It's part of the room. it matches the decor, maybe, right? Someone's picking these materials because of other things in that room. It's not meant to be hidden. It's a part of the room. It's, in fact, what it's hiding is the gear, essentially.
That's exactly right. We've got alternatives to typical rack gear. So, the thing that you were just mentioning was the ubiquitous metal rack that people put, 19-inch rack gear in, and this is what pro audio guys have done forever. And they typically make that home run to that utility closet and all that wiring, but that's not always possible. So if you were to look at one of our cabinets, and our cabinets come in styles that are, some of them are real traditional, some of them are real contemporary, but regardless of what that style is, when you open up this cabinet, you can actually have professional rack ears, rack storage, inside of this beautiful cabinet that looks, whether it looks like an antique or cutting-edge contemporary styling, it's hiding the technology in a way that nobody else is really doing.
I think that's another thing that sets Salamander Designs apart. Not only, are you hiding the gear and furniture, right? That becomes part of the room that you wouldn't see. Okay, that's just, that's where my clothes are. Oh no, there's actually AV gear in there. There's a lot of it. Or like you said, even a refrigerator or something like that, which is pretty cool. It's not just like one traditional style of an older furniture or a newer style. There are a ton of styles. It's pretty cool, and there's different materials, and so obviously there's been a lot of thought in design processes. The name Salamander Designs. There's a lot of design into this, and it's not just okay, this is the one way you can do it, and that's it. There is a ton to choose from, right? Colors, materials, everything.
Actually, we pride ourselves in this because, a lot of furniture companies, they say, we only are a contemporary furniture house, or we only do traditional stuff. Well, we recognize that everybody's different, and we don't discriminate. If you like traditional styling, transitional styling, or more contemporary styling, we have something in all of those genres. So that, and the number of finishes, and all the different options, you can really go crazy customizing this stuff. You can even customize to the extent that if you want to add different types of footing options on our cabinets, different types of feet of different stylings. Maybe the foot is just sort of an aesthetic thing to dress it up or decorate it, or it's because you want to elevate that cabinet to a different height by adding like an 8-foot stiletto foot on the bottom of this thing, or a set of casters for mobility. So some of these accessories are functional, but some of them are also decorative so that you can personalize these things to your taste. So that's what's kind of cool about the ability to customize. You really just get what you want from a style and also a function standpoint.
So right now I'm on your website and I'm looking at the AV cabinetry. I see some new finishes highlighted on some of the designs. I see just new in general and a new design, things like that. So can you tell me, let's say the Miami, right? That shows as a new design. How long does it take to, I mean, it could be years for all I know, but like let's say like right now you're starting, I have this idea in my head, right? Like whatever it, let's say it's an on-wall front cabinet and something we've never really done before, and I'm sure everything's different, but is there like a, from the time that you have this idea and it goes through the process of being built, the first is a one-off here, it's going to test it, how is it doing with cabinetry, the materials, how long does it take to implement something like that before you say, yeah, I think it's ready?
It really varies. It depends on if it's an extension of a line that already exists. And for example, if we're taking a chassis or a frame system that is already fully engineered, and we just want to change out the styling. So what I mean, something like the skins of the cabinet. The core of the cabinet will remain the same, but maybe it's just different fronts, it's a different top material, different footing. But the structure and the heavy-duty engineering is already complete. That's pretty much a layup. That's not the hardest thing to do. If we're talking about developing an entirely new category, and we've done that recently with some new commercial products that were pretty sophisticated, that's a much longer lead time. That could take us, a year, maybe two, if it's really sophisticated. And, beyond that too, I personally like to live with things before we really bring them to market. So we'll design something, we'll have it around our office space and our showroom, and it'll be kicking around for months and months. And then it could be a year later that we're like, you know what, we're ready for this. We've worked out the kinks, and we're ready to go to market. So it varies on the complexity of the product, but we always tend to sort of live with things for a while before we set them loose.
Do you guys get into the custom finish on the cabinetry and things like that? Let's say you have someone is very particular about a material, whether that's the designer because they're never particular about things, or you just have someone that is really into a specific Brazilian Bibinga wood, from the rainforest or something, something very particular in mind. And obviously, it's not cheap if that was the case. Is that something that gets asked of your company?
Yeah, and increasingly more, actually. What we tend to find is that we're being pulled up market as we go here, a lot like our dealers. Our dealers are doing larger and larger jobs, and they're being pulled into jobs, often multi-million dollar homes that have interior designers involved. And so those are exactly the group of folks who like to put their own stamp on things. And so as we're being pulled along in this way, happily, we have to expand the services that we offer. So we've added some new capabilities internally here to do custom finish matching. And especially now that we're getting into the commercial realm, Salamander has been in the residential world since we founded in 1992. This is where we've lived most of this time. About 2 years ago, we branched off and started building a network of dealers in the infocom space. So this is the commercial space of electronics. And so as we go into that space, it's more of us doing specials, custom. Every job is a little bit different. And so, yeah, we're doing much more custom stuff than ever before lately. Absolutely.
Are you seeing that more from like the dealers or architects and designers, that kind of, or a little bit of everybody?
Mainly driven by designers. So interior designers, whether on the residential side, on our seating, for example, we have a program that allows a designer to send us a material of virtually any type. If they want to match the drapes, they'll send us a 12-inch square sample of this material. We'll check it to make sure that it's upholsterable, so that it's got the right qualities to be an upholstery fabric, and we can wrap, any chair and almost any material. If somebody sends us a wood finish and they want us to match a specific Australian walnut, we recently did one in a for a commercial client, we can get that and we do it. So mainly designer driven, both residential and commercially.
Okay, and so again, going back to what I said, expect lead times on custom stuff, right? It's not something it's just sitting on the shelf because it's custom. That's otherwise it wouldn't be custom.
You got it.
Someone, like you said, that Australian walnut, on top of whatever that product was, what was the, and it, I'm sure there was probably a lot of back and forth. Is this what you want? Yeah, we need to source it. Deciding, okay, let's do this, X price for whatever it is, we all agree. What kind of lead time extra did that add to whatever the product or products were?
Well, that one was a bit special because it was literally from Australia.
Okay.
So it took a long time. I think that was probably a good 8 weeks on that job, and that's very slow for us. We've got a pretty good supply chain. These guys react. Again, this is another benefit of being a domestic manufacturer, and we try to source as much as we can locally and domestically. We've got a good number of our suppliers are within 100 miles of where we are. We love that, for several reasons. One, not only do we get the product quicker, there's nothing lost in translation. They can come and visit us. If we ever have an issue with quality, we ask them to come and see us. If we need to go see them, we can do this. So just another, side benefit, a perk of being a domestic manufacturer. So.
I think that's the other good side to that is, going back to, okay, you're a domestic manufacturer, but then you're supporting other domestic manufacturers or other local businesses, and it's just kind of keeping the manufacturing process here locally, and it again will cut down on lead time, right? If there's a problem, you can go and talk to this person or people or companies, and the same is true for them with you. There's a problem. I need you to come look at this. Well, whatever it is, something's not adding up, and
Yep.
it makes things a bit more personal. It makes the process a bit more reassured. Your quality from two sides can agree, okay, this is, here's what happened, how do we fix it, whatever it is. I love hearing that, just because, especially if it's something that maybe that you're not manufacturing, okay, I gotta source it, and you're just gonna get it from another local company that you work with, right, or had a relationship with or something like that.
Yeah. A lot of our stuff, I mean, think about, we can't possibly do everything in the manufacturing process. We're not totally vertically integrated. For example, we buy a lot of extrusions.
Okay.
We don't have an extrusion press, but the guys in the Northeast here who we've got a great relationship with, you know, whether it's plastic components or it's powder coated wood components or certain technologies that have heavy investments. And so we try to find the leading expert in the field, and hopefully they're domestic. And so that's sort of the criteria when we're evaluating vendors.
Okay. Where do you see the next step, or where do you see your company headed? And maybe that's something you can't share because you're already there or headed there. But like, you know, the core of your company is furniture, right? Whether that's soft, hard material mounts, it's pretty much, it's pretty much the same essentially, right? Like the
And residential furniture, it's what we're trying to do in the residential space, because there's less componentry to support, right? There's just not the stack of gear like I had when I first got started. You know, back then you had, you know, Christ, I'm dating myself, but with the, you know, the tape decks and the DVD changers and the DVD player, and you had separate components, was your preamp, your tuner, your amps, and all this sort of stuff. Now it's just a few components. So we're supporting less technology. So we're adjusting some of our designs to accommodate that, obviously. But it's about storing other things. You know, there's never going to be a situation where you don't need a cabinet or credenza in your house. You still need something to sit in at the same time. You always still want to be comfortable. So technology is not going to obsolete cabinetry. Maybe we're storing something different. Maybe you want to store your laptop and your iPad instead of your equalizer and your tape deck, right?
Sure.
So on the resi side, it's new designs and trying to innovate and create different solutions for storage. But we are going into some new categories too. I mentioned that a new market for us was in the commercial space, and that's been interesting because it's an opportunity for us to develop new products for some different technologies. And as a designer, that's exciting, you know, to look at what are the challenges in a new space for these people. And it's exploratory, you know, what exists in the marketplace today? What is the problem set? And what can we do in an innovative or new way to solve those things? So I really enjoy being in a new market. And so that's kind of fun.
How new is the commercial arena for Salamander?
Just over 2 years, but 3 years now we're approaching, and we've taken the cabinets that we have in the residential space, and we've modified those and bolstered those so that they can support some of the commercial technologies. You know, so when I talk about commercial applications, it's things like unified communications and collaboration spaces, which everybody is hearing about now, which is on the rise. It's new technologies like touch panels. There's new technologies like the Microsoft Surface Hub, which is starting to blow up in the office space, these new touch panels for communication and collaboration. And so they've got different sets of challenges. You know, now that it's an interactive panel now, ergonomics is so much more important, because now you're interacting with the technology in a really intimate way. And everybody's a bit different, whether it's an educational setting, you know, students are all different sizes, and as you go, in an office as well. So ergonomics is important in developing products that are innovative. For example, we just developed a range of carts and stands that are motorized so that you can dial in the appropriate position for yourself. And so, you know, it goes hand in hand with some of these new standards in workplaces, where you see height adjustable tables becoming so popular now, and this trend of standing workspaces. So trying to capitalize on some of those trends and bring some solutions.
Yeah, I think one of the ones I really like is your tiltable electronic display mount and motorized stand, right? That up and down, and then like I could see that, like, you know, being on a big touchscreen.
Yeah.
Kind of replacing the podium, if you will, almost, right? Like, you can move it around where you need to be. I have my display, and for where we're kind of moving to, is being able to, you know, touch this display and shift it off to another screen or something like that, and being able to move around the room with a display. And this lift really helps you to kind of mobilize around a room or space.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's about flexibility. It's about personalization. It's about ergonomics and health. So it's kind of neat. It's a new technology. It's neat. It's really becoming really popular. So it's kind of fun to be involved with something that is growing rapidly.
What else? What else? Commercial is new to your company ish, 2 years. It's just not, something
It
that's been
is,
around that long, but
yeah, but we're developing the marketplace and a distribution channel really right now. So that's also interesting, is to be developing an entirely new channel. We've been in the residential CEDIA marketplace for almost 25 years. So, we've got great relationships in that space. We're members of some of the big buying groups there. So we've got some long-term relationships with all sorts of people. So it's great having those sorts of relationships and farming and growing and nurturing those. But it's a little bit different on the commercial side because these are new relationships, that we're forging. So it's fun to be able to do both.
So for sure, you're a company I've seen at CEDIA. I've seen them at Infocom. What other shows can we see Salamander Designs at?
So we're actually in February going to ISE, which
Okay.
is in Amsterdam. We'll be there, which is one of my favorite shows, not only because I think Amsterdam's an amazing city, but the idea of having this one show, ISE, that is essentially a CEDIA and an Infocom together in one show. So you have residential and commercial exhibitors and dealers are all in one place. It's a neat concept.
I like the concept and I have yet to actually get there. This might be the year.
You
This might
should
be the
go.
year.
You should go.
Maybe that'll be another show coming soon. But the concept is great because it's not just a resi, it's not just commercial, it's the two and it's on a massive scale, right? Because those shows themselves are already so large. How do you fit all that into one hall? You don't. It's actually like seven halls. But talking about distribution or getting your product out there to market, are you a direct dealer? Are you through distribution? Are you different business models, online retail? How does that work?
So we've got a great network of brick and mortar dealers, and it's probably about 1,000 active accounts. We have sales reps in every territory in the States and also in Canada. We export as well. So our primary go-to-market strategy is through the CEDIA channel. So these are integrators that either have showrooms or maybe they don't. And again, we don't discriminate if you have a showroom or not. We're happy to sell to you. And because our product is so customizable, we actually prefer not to go through distribution, and that we have a direct relationship. As close as we can get to our dealers, the better, really. The relationships with our dealers are critically important. There are representatives out there. We want to support them as much as we can. And I feel like there's no sense in playing sort of that telephone game where you have somebody in the middle trying to keep the process going when we can simplify it and work directly. So, regardless of your size, whether you're buying, two cabinets a year or buying, 2,000, it's a direct relationship with Salamander.
Okay. A lot of direct, a lot of handle, much like the building process, right? So keeping things local, reaching out when questions need to be answered, making sure that all needs are met, I think is a good strategy. Has it been that way every day since day one, pretty much?
It's been a slow organic growth of Salamander over time. The business model in that way really hasn't changed much. It's a slightly different approach on the commercial side because the products are a little bit different, and we do have some distributors in that realm. But it's because the products are different. We have some SKUs that can be stocked. They're not customizable, and those are the electric carts and stands that you were just talking about, we just discussed. So it's a little bit different. And in that case, too, we want those products to be stored with a distributor who is shipping out that touchscreen technology. So when that customer orders that touch panel, they can get that stand delivered at the same time. So, we just are trying to be thoughtful and think about the clients and what they're going to want to see. And there's no sense in writing two purchase orders and getting two deliveries when we can make it more simple for them.
Makes sense. That's a pretty good strategy. I mean, so when trying to with on that one specific case where that's okay, that's definitely makes sense to go distribution. What is like the process? Like let's say someone out there, okay, I love what they're doing in the commercial space. This is relatively new-ish. I mean, it's not new, but it's newer and emerging more and more now, right? With universal collaboration and communication, and more of it's happening with businesses booming so much and things like that, and being remote, working from home, shared co-office spaces and things like that, and having East Coast, West Coast, or different parts of the world. This is more and more common now. How do you find that right sort of distributor to pair your product with that display? Like, what kind of process goes into that? Is it just an interview process kind of thing?
Yeah, so we have a couple of key distributors. Again, for the stands specifically, we have those distribution relationships. When it comes to the cabinets, again, because they're so customizable, and what we're finding in the commercial space that it's a whole another level of customization that these guys want to see. So we do work directly with the clients in that case, and we interface with the AV slash IT specifiers. We interface with designers and people like this, the innovators. But a lot of what we're doing, for example, is freestanding solutions for retrofits. So say, for example, it's time to renovate the conference room, and they want to put dual 80-inch panels in there, and there's going to be a camera and some audio. What our cabinets offer is a freestanding solution that allows you to hang the panels and all the technology inside of the cabinet on our robust chassis in the frame. And so what that means is that the integrator doesn't have to get involved with opening up the wall, reinforcing the wall to support those panels. They don't have to worry about wiring. They don't have to worry about pulling permits. Instead, all this technology can be supported by our furniture. And so the way the process goes is they'll contact us, they'll tell us what they're trying to support, what the equipment is, and we'll come back to them and say, you know what, this is our suggestion for the cabinet and the sort of mounting solution. And you can roll this thing into the room. Plug it in. Here's the patch panel that will be on the back, and then you're good to go. You don't have to deal with all those other trades, and it becomes a turnkey, more simple retrofit. So that's sort of the way we're working with folks in that space.
Okay, that makes sense. I like that. Let's see, mounts. We kind of really, the only thing I guess I didn't really ask you, like on the soft side of things, is there just like a handful of materials that you use for the products? Because I know on the hard side of things, okay, these are the woods we work with, or these are the materials, these are the finishes, right? On the furniture, I would see, especially with the design side, right? Like, if it's gonna live in my space, I either, if I don't see what I want, I'm gonna want something very specific. I'm sure that's probably another custom thing. Okay, yeah, maybe some hand-holding designers. This, yeah.
So on the soft goods, we do have a palette of standards that we offer. So there's actually three, four different levels of leather grades that we have. We also have a couple of fabric covers as well that allow you to hit a different price point. So mainly what we sell is leather, but we also have other options. If none of those are sufficient or satisfactory, again, you can send us a swatch sample. If you go to a fabric purveyor of some type and find something that you just absolutely love and you want to send us a sample, again, it's not a problem. We can wrap it in virtually anything that you need. So that's where the designers really start to have fun. There's things that you do on our seating, for example. If they want to start doing things like contrasting piping or welting, like you see on an automobile, or contrasting stitching to dress this up and make it more sporty, that's where you can really have some fun on the design side. So seating is neat. There's a lot of customization that's possible.
I've seen some interesting stuff in seating, and probably could have been yours in the past. I don't recall at the time. Some stuff where, what's the technology? The
Like a transducer where you
tran
feel,
yeah, it's a
yeah.
transducer, but it was made. I can't remember the brand. The one that's coated
Butt
to the
kick,
theater.
butt kicker is a brand name.
Not that one.
No.
It's it starts with the D, I believe.
Oh, D-Box?
D-Box. D-Box
Yes.
technology was built in, so I don't know if that's a custom thing or something that you offer.
We don't We are not D-Box compatible because D-Box requires that you build your chair in a very specific way to accommodate their actuators. They actually have these linear actuators that provide motion to the chair, so these chairs move up and down. It's almost like you're at a theme park, you know.
Right.
And so there's a limited amount of extension that you need to add. We build our chairs in a very specific way. We use mortise and tenon plywood construction, and we feel that gives you a better quality product. And so we didn't re-engineer our chairs to accommodate their technology. We offer something called a transducer, which is a tactile sound transducer, which gives you a full range of frequency response that you actually feel in the chair. So that's our approach. It doesn't have full range of motion physically, but you have full range audio and vibration that helps you experience.
Okay, the other thing I've seen is visual, so some sort of colored LEDs or RGB array of colors underneath the seating and things like that, which is kind of a neat gimmicky effect, I think, to some extent. Maybe that's just the room decor. I don't know if that was built into the chair. I've just seen it, and I don't know if that's something that's ever been asked of your company.
We tend to try to stay away from really trendy things like that. You could certainly put light strips underneath any of these chairs if you wish. It's a pretty simple thing to do, but as far as, you know, putting lighted cup holders and things like that, I'm not a big fan for those sorts of things. There's a couple of reasons. One, I think it's very trendy, but I also feel like it's a warranty issue in some cases where, you know, I wouldn't be engineering, designing, and building that thing myself personally. Salamander wouldn't be. We'd have to buy that component, and those tend to be cheaply made. We put lifetime warranties on everything we sell, and so if I can't stand behind that component, that thing, I really don't want to put it in our product.
Another attests to the quality of the product that you get when purchasing anything from Salamander Designs, right? Something that's going to last the lifetime of the product or you, made here. And it stands by, by the seal of approval, right?
I actually like it when people call me 20 years out and say, you know what, I need to replace X, Y, or Z. We're moving, and I lost the shelves or the shelf pegs, or I disassembled this rack when I was moving from here to there. Can you send me these parts? We're so happy to do that. We just love getting those calls. The fact that people are still using our stuff 20 years later, I think that's great. So, absolutely call us when you need something.
So, and I think nobody likes hearing it or asking it, and you can say no or yes, but do you ever get the reverse call, like, oh, I'm unhappy, something happened, a month later, 20 years later, or something like that, whatever it is. I'm sure that's happened once somewhere down the line, right?
Yeah, I'm typically the only issue is something with when it's new and you receive it and it's not up to the expectation. To be honest, the most typical complaint is about freight damage, sadly, because our stuff is just so heavy and big, you know. The freight companies sometimes will treat this stuff a little bit too rough, and that is the biggest complaint that we get. Generally, our quality is up there. We measure this on a daily basis. We have an internal email. It's called the Salamander Scoop, and at the top of the scoop is the measure of turnbacks. We call it Muda. Muda is the Japanese word for waste, and so everything is tracked to a Mr. Muda, and we track how many instances of Muda did we have yesterday, and that's a customer call back and saying, I had freight damage, or I'm missing a screw in this bag, or this shelf had a scratch on it. Whatever it is, we consider that Muda, and we measure it on a daily basis. And we go down to the production floor, whatever work cell or wherever that originated, and we have a daily huddle and say, today we had this incident. What are we doing about it?
Trying to take that all in, like from custom turnaround times that are just seem like that it's not a custom product, so fast, made stateside, working with other companies here locally, and lifetime warranties, and when some sort of waste happens, and you come to a group at the end of the day and say, okay, what was wasted? How do we correct it? All of that being said, with all that. And you take that information and you try to improve on what's already so good. about manufacturing here in the States. It just kind of like reassures me that, people still care, right? Companies still care. Things are made here, and they're continually trying to be made better, right? How do I build something here? And not only just to say it's made here, the reason it's made here is because you can stand behind your product and have a sense of pride. I made this, I stand by it for the lifetime of the product, whatever it is. And the complaint that you might get, or not even a complaint, aside, someone else's damages in freight is, 20 years down the line, hey, I lost some parts in moving. Hopefully you still make it. And like, yeah, I can get you that.
Yeah, and it's funny because we typically don't discontinue much in the way of products. I mentioned that archetype system that I designed in college. That's a current product. It's amazing. So if you bought that thing from me 25 years ago, I have the hex nuts and the bushings and all of the components that you might ever need. So, yeah, you can rest assured that we'll have the parts to supply.
Well, I have my Archetype A5 in walnut over here to the right of me. So when I move next, and if I move anything, I'll make sure to get your cell phone or email, which I have your email, but I'll give you a call and say, hey, I probably lost some nuts over here, or this and that, or the spikes or whatever. And if anything, I'm probably going to be adding on to it. Let's talk a little about that, because that in itself is pretty cool, right? Like it's a modular system. You can adjust it. I think that was one of the biggest things that I like, aside, I didn't really want a traditional kind of like commercial rack with, the traditional U spacing, rack spacing, and things like that. Because in my room, I have some sort of like burl looking furniture that's a darker wood, and I went with the walnut because I like the color, I like what it was, and I like the ability to kind of move them around as needed, the rack spaces, and not still see this kind of commercial, traditional black rack that we talked about that sets you aside from that traditional black rack that generally is hidden in a closet, because if it's going to live out in space, I want it to look nice. That product, for what it is, it's I don't want to say simple, but it just it,
It is simple. It is, and I don't think that's an insult. It's easy. It's easy to build something complicated. This is what one of my professors told me. It's easy to build something complicated. It's more difficult to build something simply.
And that I think is some of the appeal to me. I'm like, oh man, this thing just makes so much sense, right? And you get some, some really nice wood options and things like that. And the other thing is, like, I didn't really want to kind of like enclose it too much because, of heat with amplifiers and things like that. Plus, I also kind of like looking at my gear. I don't know why. I just do. I like seeing it. Not everyone can say that. And I think if you're a designer out there, you probably think I'm crazy, but. Most people are like, oh yeah, I don't want to see that. We're hiding it, and that's the reason for the other furniture, right? Furniture, the other furniture that you make hides it, and it's more of something that lives in the space, and I don't have to see it unless I need to open up and get into it, which is kind of neat. And for the most part, I mean, everything. There's so many options. You build your racks. You have cooling options. You have power options. You have different materials, and it's just so customizable. They're easy to add on to. It's not something you have to like settle on today. It's a pretty modular system across the different rack spaces or rack systems and furniture that you make. It's pretty, again, I want to say unique to most things I've seen out there, and it's done beautifully in a quick turnaround time, which so I'm so glad that your company existed. I'm glad, 25 plus years ago or more, or when you came out with this first design as an artist, a student, a sculptor, and like, I have this need, I'm going to build it, and I'm so glad it turned into what you are today, and it's pretty cool to see that it's still going from, the first design, and it's still around.
Yeah, thank you so much. It's been an amazing trip, and it's fun creating things, I got to tell you. It's neat to build something that other people appreciate.
And I appreciate that it's made here. It's always been made here from day one, in the art studio at school to, just in a bigger format now. I think that's pretty cool. So thank you for keeping it here. Thank you for having a team here to make sure that your designs are met to what you actually intended upon. Thank you for living with it in the space, and then it's ready to be released, moving it forward. Thank you for getting custom product in the homes of people, here stateside, in other countries, wherever. I'm sure, because you're not just here in the States. Thank you for in a timely fashion. Custom is something that's so hard to do, and meet all the quality needs of what your product is, and get it done in a timely fashion. Because I've with all the custom stuff that I've done over the course of forever, there's always something that ends up wrong, and it prolongs the manufacturing process, and it stops so many other things from happening, and then someone on the project can't do their job because of, you know, this is preventing me to finish this room or whatever it is. Thank you in general. I think that's pretty cool.
I appreciate that. It's nice to be acknowledged. Thank you, Johnny. I appreciate it.
Yeah, and thank you for your time again. I do appreciate it. So I've kind of pretty much come to the end of my questions, unless you have anything else that we haven't really talked about from your company that we should probably mention. I've come to the end of my list.
No, I think we covered a lot of good stuff, and I appreciate your time. It's fun to look back. You know, it's not something you do on a regular basis to go through the history and start talking about this company since its inception. So this has been fun for me, too.
Yeah, again, thank you for your time and your knowledge. I'd love to have you back maybe after ISE. You know, you can talk about whatever products you're going to be showing there. Maybe you have stuff in the works that you can't say yet because it's not time. Maybe you just want to talk about the quality of your products and, you know, the test of time. They're still kicking around today, as we see with the Archetype design. I'd love to have you back in the future that if, you know, you're around and you have time.
I'm always around, so just give me a holler.
So the only question I'm going to have left is for anyone listening who's interested in becoming a dealer, interested in purchasing, they want to learn more about Salamander Designs, where is the best place to learn more?
So you should start with the website and just hit the Contact Us button, reach out, and I'm sure we'll be back to you pretty darn quick. So please visit us, salamanderdesigns.com, and we'd love to hear from you.
Cool. And for anyone else out there listening that's more of a social person, there are a good handful of places to go. You can head over to youtube.com/salamanderdesigns, plural. If you like your news in 140 characters or less, it's at salamanderd on the Twitter. If you're like a Facebook person, because yeah, that's your flavor, cool, man. They've got a Facebook account for facebook.com/salamanderdesigns. Pinterest, if you want to put some of your furniture up there, if you're a designer, you're designing a theater, a room, any furniture, commercial spaces, pin it at pinterest.com/salamanderdzns. LinkedIn, you can get all the contacts there. You want to meet up with Salvatore, connect with them on LinkedIn, talk business, that's probably a great place to do it. LinkedIn.com/company/salamander-designs. Google Plus as well, which is a long string of characters that I'm just going to not read to you, but I'm going to make you go to Google and probably Google their own account there. They're on Google Plus. If you have any questions for me, my personal email, where I do not like to receive spam, but if you want to yell at me and tell me my show sucks, or maybe you liked it, or you have some criticism, I'll take all that minus the spam. It's Johnny, JohnnyMota, the number 3. That's JohnnyMota3@gmail.com. Everything else is pretty much either JohnnyJMota3 on Twitter, everywhere else. Give me a holler. Thanks for listening, everyone. This has been AV Insider. We'll catch you on the next show. Sal, thank you so much for your time, and I'd love to have you back in the future.
Sounds great. Thank you so much.